This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
Are you still there? To delete this message, press 7. To save it in the archives, press 9. To hear more options, press 0.
What are you talking about?
Welcome back to another Curious Tourism Postcard. This is our monthly episode where Katie and I stray from our usual format to have a fun and candid chat about the latest travel news and updates from in and around the travel community. So Katie, I know that you and Mark recently booked your flights to Japan for your honeymoon next year. And I'm guessing this means that you have started to at least somewhat plan the trip.
Yeah, and I think you have been the most involved in that planning. I was at your place like maybe a month ago or something. And I was like, Aaron, I need a lot of help planning my route because I just don't know what to do. And then you basically came up with the route for me. And then I was like, okay, that's what we're going to do. And then I came home to relay it back to Mark and I couldn't remember what it was. So yeah, we need another planning session, you and I.
Oh my gosh. My parents are also thinking about going to Japan and I did the exact same thing for them. And I wrote the whole route down for them on this piece of paper. And then this weekend, my mom was like, I lost that piece of paper.
It was such a solid route too that I have like a vague memory of it, but I couldn't remember what exact spots they were. I remember like the direction of train travel and bus travel you recommended and like how we would do it. And then, yeah, but anyway, I am going on a tangent.
So I am curious to know, other than me, what are you using to plan the trip? Like, where are you finding information?
Ooh, okay. So I'm finding information from a variety of places. So I have like a huge favorites folder on Instagram of just like Japan travel stuff that's come across my feed that's like kind of interesting. So my plan is to, once I have like sort of a good route in mind, to rewatch all of those those short form videos and like see if anything in there is like part of this route that I've planned, and then maybe just like favorite it onto Google Map or something like that. And then also my parents for Christmas got me like a Japan travel book because they've been like, I think it's the classic guides. I can't remember what kind of book it is, but
Lonely Planet maybe.
I think it might be a Lonely Planet book. And they've been getting Lonely Planet books for their travels like since I was a kid. They've always had a book with them when they travel. And when we went to Greece when I was like 10, we brought this book with us and I was like, addicted to it because I was obsessed with ancient Greece and there was all these information about the sites that we were going to, like the ruins and everything. And I was like a nerd with this little book being like, that's that and that's that and all these things. So the book. And then honestly, I've been like kind of, I'll go into the areas that I'm interested in traveling to and just look them up on Google Maps and then like see what kind of interesting stuff is highlighted in the area. And then also massively word of mouth recommendations. I've had like maybe 5 people send me their own personal recommendations from their trips. Somebody has actually sent me like their full on Google map with all of their pins and everything like that too. So word of mouth and a book.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Are you at all using AI?
No.
Ooh, okay. I like the firmness of this response.
I didn't even think to use AI for this stuff because I don't trust it. I don't trust AI. Okay. I only use AI once in a while for like helping me come up with like titles, like if I'm in a bit of a brain fart and I can't think of like a creative way like to say ideation. Something. Yeah, I'll be like, can you help me with a title or a headline with this?
Yeah. Well, I know we recently chatted about AI travel influencers, which is just one of the many ways that AI is starting to impact the travel and tourism industry. But probably the most common impact that I'm noticing in real time is how people are starting to use LLMs to plan their travels.
Interesting.
So I noticed this a couple months ago when one of my colleagues in my day job told me that she has a project on ChatGPT that she's using to plan her upcoming trip to Greece. And I asked her, in what ways is it helping you plan? And she told me she's using it for everything from deciding on where in Greece to go and how to get from place to place, mm-hmm. which hotels to book, things to do. And she was saying, I love it because this project will hold like all of the history of the things we've discussed. So during the trip, I can go to this project and ask questions and get clarifications like as we're traveling in real time. So it'll be sort of like her AI travel agent, I guess. So this is just one anecdote. So I did some Googling and I found some numbers. A report by Statista states that approximately 40% of travelers worldwide have used AI-based tools for planning a trip.
40%?
I know. It seems high, but I think it's about the verbiage here. Like, this is pretty vague to say, like, AI-based tools, considering AI tools are now weaved into so many areas of our lives. Like, there's a lot of websites, for example, that you might use that are, like, involving an AI tool and you don't necessarily know that you're using AI. Like, this is happening now. I'm noticing it more in my day-to-day wanderings around the internet. And I think that this would count, like, say you just went to ChatGPT and said, give me ideas of a route to do in Japan. And that was the only touch point you had with ChatGPT. You would be considered part of that 40%.
Oh, interesting.
So another survey by the Association of British Travel Agents quoted that in surveying 2,000 people, less than a fifth of respondents said that they would be happy to hand over the planning of their holiday to AI. This is a bit more specific. It's saying, like, completely relying on AI for a trip. I guess the main point here is that people are definitely using AI for travel, and we're going to see this adoption go up in the coming years, especially as LLMs become more advanced and more widely used. So I think I know, but what are your general thoughts and feelings about using AI for booking travel? Can you envision, like, in the future using it in any capacity?
Maybe, but I think the things that I'm looking for when it comes to helping me plan a trip, I can get from, like, friends and trusted sources. So I would probably go to the trusted sources first before I go to AI. I just don't trust what it will recommend.
Okay.
Would you, though? Would you is my question.
Oh, would I? That is a good question. I have not.
Okay.
I do, like, we've talked about this, I do use AI for ideation and brainstorming. So I would use it in that capacity for very generalized questions. But for the deeper research, absolutely not. No.
Yeah, no trust.
And our feelings on this are about to be justified because, newsflash, there are risks involved in relying on AI for trip planning. So I came across a fantastic article from the BBC. It was published at the end of September and it's written by Lynn Brown. And it's titled, The Perils of Letting AI Plan Your Next Trip. So in the article, the author Lynn talks to a few people, ranging from travel guides to actual travelers, about the issues they have run into when they have relied on AI. So the first story I thought was interesting, she talks to Dana Yao and her husband, who followed a ChatGPT planned hike up Mount Meissen in Japan.
No.
Their goal was to reach the summit for sunset time, as ChatGPT had suggested.
No.
There are a couple routes that you can take to reach this peak. They range in difficulties, so it could take like from 1.5 hours to 4 hours just to hike up. ChatGPT had instructed them to hike up, enjoy the sunset, and then take a ropeway car back down so that you don't have to hike down in the dark. But when they went to take the ropeway back down, they discovered it had closed much earlier than ChatGPT said it would. So the couple ended up stranded at the mountain's peak, and their only option was to hike back down in the dark.
Oh, my God. For how long? How long was this hike?
Terrifying.
Like hours?
They didn't go into the details, but it would, judging by the fact that it can take like a minimum of 1.5 hours up, they were probably looking at like a minimum of an hour hiking in the dark going back down. Yeah.
That's bananas.
Yeah. And so the author points out, from this real life anecdote that this is an example of how relying on AI for important logistics like operating hours can lead to stressful and even unsafe situations. And another example, this one is really interesting. The author talks to a travel guide in Peru, and he talks about how he encountered two travelers who were following an AI-generated itinerary that told them to hike to a place called the Sacred Canyon of Humante. He checked what they were looking at, and he had to tell them that place does not exist. The name was a combination of two places that don't have any relation to the description that he was looking at in their itinerary. By that point, these two travelers had gone out of their way to get to the starting point for this imagined hike. They had spent like $200 on a private taxi to get to this point. They were extremely upset.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I don't know how you make this decision. How do you not double check your sources? Again, with the every single postcard, who made the executive decision here? This always comes down to this.
It's so interesting to me reading about this. Like, I am fascinated by how AI is like so quickly changing technology, like, and our lives. Like, I was chatting with my dad about it this weekend, and he was saying the internet boom that happened when you and I were kids, he was saying this is that, but quadruple the speed. My dad is a realist, and he also worked as a software engineer, so he knows. And he was like, you cannot like it, but this is happening. And this will change, like, a lot about your life, and it's going to change fast. So I've been reading about this like AI boom and about how because ChatGPT communicates with us in a very human way, it's sort of like that uncanny valley stuff where like we can't identify it as like not really being human. Like our brains just sort of assume, our brains like assume trust because of the way that ChatGPT communicates with us, because it communicates in such a human way. So I think that's why people like, even though they might logically know, like, I should check this, there's just this inherent feeling of trust, I guess.
Yeah. And I think that's why, yeah, these hallucinations can go unchecked. And this is, I think they go unchecked until you have an actual experience where you see an AI hallucination that you know for sure, for fact, that is not real. And this is what happened to me, where I might have told you this already, but for work, I had to look up something. And of all things, I was looking up whether or not the woman who plays Charlotte on Sex and the City and the man who plays Steve on Sex and the City are friends in real life. So I was looking up whether or not they were friends in real life. And Google, of course, spit out like an answer to me. And Google's AI answer to me was saying that these two actors played a married couple on Sex and the City, which any Sex and the City fan would know is not true. And that was the first iteration of me seeing something. And like on Google, which is apparently an authority in terms of like search results. And that was the first time I'd actually experienced something I knew to be untrue that AI was delivering to me. And ever since then, I'm like, no trust.
Yeah.
I trust nothing.
And that's an interesting example, because I think those AI overviews are like a great example of how it's being forced onto us.
Yeah.
Because even though I prefer not to use an AI answer, it's the first thing served up to me when I go to Google something. And so like, whether or not I like it, I'm being presented this information. I know.
Yeah. Crazy.
Is this though? Yeah. I don't know. Because I do feel like with Google, there's always been, in general, like using the internet has always required like some form of critical thinking. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's what's happening with AI. It just has such a trustworthy feel to it that people aren't doing that. I don't know.
It has a trustworthy feel until it doesn't.
Yeah, until you're stranded on top of a mountain in Japan. So when it comes to travel specifically, I think like my main concerns are definitely that AI tends to lack up-to-date information and it lacks local nuances in the the itineraries that it provides. So, for example, it couldn't reflect like current conditions in a place. Probably wouldn't reflect seasonal changes, closures, like local practice or safety advisories. These are all things that a human guide or a recent traveler would know.
I wonder if it's because AI is like designed to please you. So it doesn't want to give you the bad news that something's going to be closed or isn't like the way you want your trip to be or something like that.
That's an interesting point. But it is designed, it is meant to give accurate information. I think it all has to do with the source material that it crawls, right?
Yeah.
Like whatever data it's been fed, that's what it will regurgitate. So it all boils down to whether it has access to like the source data needed to mention a seasonal change or like a current condition. And there's a few other risks that the author of this article notes. There's the risk of invented places or features. There's the risk of confidence without verification, which we've talked about a little bit. People might act on suggestions from LLMs without checking them against reliable local or official sources. There can be safety implications. You might find yourself in a remote area or a challenging environment that you're not quite ready for. I think like that also is an interesting point because it's not just about what the LLM spits out. It's also about how you prompt it. Because I have noticed this in the workplace, like the way that you prompt will influence the kind of response that you get. So if I were to prompt and say, I would like to do a hike, here's my personal profile in terms of what my fitness levels are, what kind of hikes I'm capable of. If I fed it all that information, then it would probably spit out a hike better designed for me. But if you don't do that, like if you don't include a lot of detail in your prompt, you might just get generalized suggestions, which could not be a good fit for you.
Yeah. All of a sudden you're halfway up Mount Everest being like, wait, hold on a second. I feel like this is not for me. It must be an expert for this.
ChatGPT said I could do this. And then the last thing, and this is like forever going to be the most troubling part of LLMs for me, the data and bias limitations. The training data that feeds these tools could be omitting lesser known places. It might not include non-English sources or local realities. And unfortunately, this has the potential to lead to skewed or culturally insensitive suggestions, which also makes me think about how, like we've talked about this on this show, if you're a person of color, for example, you want to hear from other people of color about their experience in a place for a more reflective idea of what it'll be like to travel there. And I don't know that like ChatGPT is capable of that kind of nuance. At least at the moment, it's not.
I was also just thinking about, because I saw a video on Instagram recently of this guy at a resort in Bali, I think. And they've got like a couple of different levels of pools or something like that. And he does a backflip off of this like 3-story high thing into a pool. And then the caption is like, I got kicked out of this resort. And there's all of the staff who's there being like, you can't do that here kind of thing. Anyway, all of that to say, I wonder how much AI is sort of suggesting, like how much AI is being informed by like a weird power dynamic where it might be like, oh, if you go to this place, like people will treat you really well, or you can do all these things and people will cater to your needs. And then really like it's sort of supporting a weird power dynamic when you go to a place. People on the internet might've written blog posts or put out video content being like, they took such good care of me and I was able to do this, that, and the other thing, when like the reality of what they went through was pretty problematic. And then AI just starts recommending those things because it saw through its scraper or whatever that people had a good time and has
For
no
sure.
context clues around like the people managing those types of experiences.
It's definitely going to reflect the often colonial views that are written online, and as well as other problematic views. And I don't know, like, I'm sure that this is something that's being worked on, like, considering how booming this industry is at the moment, but I don't know if we're there yet.
I think this is an interesting episode we should do where you plan a trip on AI and then we review it together.
Oh, I like that. That's a good idea. Mm-hmm. We should plan your Japan trip.
Oh my God. Yeah, we should. Because then also you've been there. So we get some good feedback from someone who's mm-hmm. lived the experience. Interesting.
So one of the last things mentioned in the article, and this is something I've thought about myself quite a lot, is the issue of over-reliance. I think like there's just generally been such excitement around AI that some people are becoming very reliant on it to the point that they're not critically thinking and double checking information. And so that's more of like a generalized AI concern. But I think it could become a problem in travel and tourism because like we learned from these two examples, if you're over reliant on an LLM to plan your trip, you might not have the trip you expected.
Mm-hmm. This is making me think about like the job of a travel agent. Like, are travel agents concerned that their jobs are getting taken? Because the real job of a travel agent is actually getting the things booked. So I wonder how many people are coming to travel agents now being like, I planned this trip on ChatGPT. Now, can you book all of it?
Yeah, I know they tend to be used a lot by diaspora communities. They'll rely on like travel agents that are like local to their country, like wherever they're going home to. At least I've heard this is a thing. I've also heard that like older generations still like to use travel agents. I know that they're big in the Disney space, in the like Disney vacation world. I actually think like travel agents might be more popular in the US. Couldn't tell you why. This is literally just a vibe I have. Maybe if there's US listeners, tell us if this is a thing. But there like are still travel agents for sure. And technically, like I have used them, not to plan a trip in full, but while I'm traveling, I will go work with a travel agent to arrange something. Lucas and I did this like a zillion times when we were in Asia last year, when we were in Tanzania, especially like you work with travel agents because they are local, they can better organize something for you than you can. And generally they're just taking a percentage of what you pay. So mm-hmm. you don't really feel the cost. Yeah, I think like there will still be a place for travel agents, at least right now, because one of the values of them is that like personal human touch, like they get to know you and they craft a trip around exactly what your needs are and desires are. I guess like one thing I wonder about is if travel agents are using LLMs to make their job easier.
Yeah.
They might be.
Maybe. I assume that travel agents have like personal connections with some of the vendors and stuff that they recommend or work with too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that's a big part of the job too, because then they can give the traveler the best experience. But at the end of the day, if they're making money off of whatever they book for them and then that person goes and travels, they don't really have to worry about anything after that. I don't know.
So it doesn't sound like you're hopping on the bandwagon, but do you think in the future you might dabble in testing AI for trip planning?
If anything, just because I'm curious to see what it recommends.
Yeah, I am kind of curious too.
Yeah, I'm actually very curious to see what it pops up for a trip to Japan. And I might test this out and get back to you and see what happens when I put in like a traveler profile for Mark and I. And see what it spits out, and then we can review this together.
Yeah.
Especially if I say that it's like a honeymoon, like I'm very curious to see what it's going to recommend.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious too. I wanted to talk about this though, because basically this is a huge PSA to everyone listening to just please be careful. Please be careful if you're using AI to book your trips. And in general, I think it's best to stick to guidebooks and tourism boards and high quality blogs, especially blogs written by people local to the place that you're traveling to, and real humans. Talk to your friends who have been to places. If you have friends who have family in those places, like, yeah, talk to humans.
If you're short on time but you love to travel, the Travel in 10 podcast is perfect for you.
hosts David Brody and Tim Johnson bring decades of experience having traveled to all seven continents. Each week, they spotlight a different place around the globe with expert tips and inspiring stories to fuel your next adventure. You can listen now at voyescape.com.
Travel has changed a lot since my father wrote Europe on $5 a day, but our mission hasn't. I'm Pauline Frommer of the Frommer Travel Guides, and on the Frommer's Travel Show, I share practical advice, meaningful stories, and conversations with some of the most trusted names in the industry. If you're looking for ways to travel smarter and bring the world closer, I've got you covered. New episodes weekly at voyescape.com.